Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Please take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And today we'd like to consider verse 13 in particular as a a beginning focal point. I'd like to read to you, though, verses 11 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, 11 through 14. In Christ we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. In verse 13, there is a statement that causes me to ask a question that I think is worthy of our attention. And he says, Paul says here that in Him, that is Christ, when you heard the word of truth, and then he describes what that word of truth was, the gospel of your salvation. He says, when you heard the word of truth and believed. Now, we've been looking at some of the things that Paul's been talking about all through this passage about the work of Christ and providing for our salvation, the work of the Holy Spirit in applying that salvation to our hearts. And that is, I guess, the answer to the question that I'd like to ask. But when people sit in this room and hear a message from the Scriptures, and some of them walk away saying, I believe that. I'm with that. I understand that. I embrace that. And others walk away saying, I don't get it. I don't think that's important. In fact, I reject it. What is the difference between those people? Is one of them an engineer at Auburn and the other one not? Is one more clever than the other? Is one more enlightened intellectually, or is one just more philosophically able to get their minds around the arguments of the Scripture, and because they're able to do that, they can embrace those things? Is it something that's in us that does that? Or when you talk with somebody out there in the job place, in school, when you talk to them about what it means to follow after Christ, and they respond to you with enthusiasm, and others respond to the very same message, the same kinds of things that you might say, maybe in the very same group, they hear the exact same words under the same conditions, and they think you're crazy. What is the difference? Well, the very simple answer to that is that we are dependent wholly upon the Holy Spirit of God to open our eyes to see and understand truth. And because we're dependent on the Holy Spirit, we want to go to Him, and we want to make ourselves as available, if you will, to Him. We want to submit to Him. We want to ask Him to help us to understand the truths of the Word of God. Simple message today. Let's think through those things, understanding that, first of all, before we get into all the details and the nitty-gritty of this, I'm not implying that a person who's an unbeliever or doesn't have any connection with Christ at all, I'm not implying that they can't understand what the Bible teaches. Intellectually, the Bible is not that difficult to understand. Almost anyone could read passages in the Scripture that say that sexual immorality is a very bad idea, and as a result, guard themselves from that and keep away from it and be faithful to a spouse and enjoy the blessings and the benefits of a relatively happy home. Or someone could read in the Bible that debt is not a good idea, that you shouldn't, you know, make yourself the master to lots of different people by owing them money, and people can avoid debt. And lots of folks do that and have no connection to spiritual things at all. So I'm not implying that no one can read the Bible and understand truths or life principles that are contained in the Scriptures. They could read Proverbs and gain lots of help for living. But to gain life from the Scriptures requires the work of the Holy Spirit. So that we're not just gaining intellectual information, but to gain life. So that you kind of go, oh, that's how I can survive today. That's how I can live. That's what God wants. Oh, That's who Jesus is all about. Oh, that's how I need to press after this or that in a way that will please God and bless me. Those kinds of things are dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. And just as surely as we are reliant upon the Spirit of God to give us life to begin with, we are reliant on the Holy Spirit to give us growth and progress and understanding of what God calls us to. So let's think about those things together. First of all, we are entirely, wholly, absolutely, you can use any of those kinds of adjectives, dependent on the Holy Spirit to give us life and growth. Spiritual life and growth comes as a result of His work in our lives. We learned that earlier from verse 9, that as we're to understand things, God has to reveal them. In chapter 1, the scripture tells us that God has made known to us the mystery of His will. And understand that when the Bible uses the word mystery, it's not talking about some secret hidden thing that only really clever detective-like people can figure out. It's talking about something that you didn't know before that God has made clear now. Something that you couldn't see, but God has made it seeable, if you will. He's opened your eyes to see something that you didn't see before. In an earlier time, this happened very directly, and I've listed several passages of Scripture on your notes so that you can kind of look for these later on if that's your desire. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 26, there is the picture here of Simeon understanding that he would see the Christ as he had longed for. And verse 25 and following says that there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And there you see this direct work of the Holy Spirit revealing something to Simeon. Or in John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus tells his disciples that he's going away. And obviously they're concerned about that, disconcerted. And yet Jesus says that he will send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will guide them into all truth in John chapter 16, verse 13. Or earlier in John chapter 14, Jesus promises his followers that the Holy Spirit will teach them, that he will help them to know what they ought to say when they come into certain situations and persecutions and difficulties. And so those are all pictures and examples in earlier days of how God would help his people directly by his Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit was the one who provided these things for God's people. In our day, having the blessing of the Scriptures and the Word of God, this is what God uses to speak. And God's Holy Spirit is the one who gives us eyes to see and to understand so that it makes sense to us. And so that it has life for our deadness, a drink for our thirstiness, if you will, and light for our blindness. It's the Holy Spirit who does those things. And that has always been the case. In Psalm 119, verse 18, you'll remember this familiar verse as David says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." And when he says law there, he's not just talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the Scriptures, all the Scriptures that he had. So in the ways that God's spoken through the Scriptures, the psalmist is saying, God, I want to know you. I want to understand your character. I want to understand what it is to walk with you. So open my eyes so that I can perceive those things and understand them in your word. And then if you come back to our text in Ephesians chapter 1, just a few verses beyond where we are, Paul prays this kind of prayer for the Ephesians, the Christians in the church at Ephesus. And notice in verse 17, he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. And then the result of that, what they would see or know, is that they might know what is the hope to which God has called them, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe. And we're going to look at those things in the next couple of weeks or so. We'll get to that passage and I'll talk about that in more detail. But let me just pause and ask you an application question for a moment if I can. Do you feel that you know God well enough? It's not a trick question and I'm not trying to say, oh no, You know, I think if we just think about that, we would all say that we don't know God as much as we want, as much as we desire. Then that what we do know about Him makes us want to know Him more. And so as we think about these things, if we are going to know Him better, I think this text and others are telling us that we are absolutely dependent on the Spirit of God to open our eyes, to enlighten the eyes or the understanding of our hearts, that we might be able to know Him better. It's not just an intellectual exercise. Paul's not praying that these guys would be better at systematic theology, although I'm going to point out in a few moments that that's a part of this. But he is primarily praying that they would be recipients of the mercy and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to allow them to see and to understand how to grow in knowing God and living in His kingdom, and that God might provide for them the things, if you will, the glory of God, the things that are only received from Him by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I hope that I can establish, or that you would agree with me, that if we're going to grow in grace, if we're going to grow in knowing God, if we're going to make progress in the Christian life by understanding what's in the Scriptures, we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be a requirement for us. Secondly, I want to encourage you by remembering that this blessing is given freely to God's redeemed people. Because when someone stands up nowadays, it seems like maybe, and starts talking about enlightenment by the Spirit and being open to the ministry of the Spirit and things like that, you might start thinking super spiritual people or extra blessings or something that's a level up and those kinds of things. But you need to know, and we need to be reminded, that this provision of God is to all of His redeemed people. And the blessing of God is not only in giving us life and bringing us into a relationship with Him through Christ so that we have heaven as our home when we die, but then in the meantime, He is also giving us a new ability, a redeemed ability to understand Him, to see Him as He is. And it's as if blinders have been removed from our eyes so that what already was is now plainly revealed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 describes it just like that. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. Now, can you remember, can you look back to a day when you might have read the Scriptures and you saw the rules and the regulations and you saw other things in there and you were going, this is confusing and that sounds like more than I can keep up with. I'm going to try my best, but I don't think I can do all this stuff and I'm going to give it my very best effort. And you might do that for a while. And try to live morally and externally, do what the Bible called you to. And yet it seemed like it was always still just this hazy thing, and it didn't ever really make sense to your who and what you are, your real person. I don't know how to describe that, to your heart. And then one day, it was like God turned on the lights in your soul. And it was like someone raised the blinds, and light shone in where there had been darkness. And now you said, oh, it makes sense. That's the work of the Holy Spirit allowing you to see these things. You didn't just grind at it long enough until you finally grasped it, but it was an operation or a work or a ministry of God for the good of your heart to pull back the blinds of these things. And so it's important that you understand that when I talk about this, I'm not talking about discovering new truths, but rather, and these are in your notes, there are three little lines there in case some of you are kind of obsessive about getting your blanks filled in. If you keep going, you'll miss these. I'm not talking about understanding new truths, but truths that had already existed are now clear. That's the result of this operation. And it's not a matter of personal revelations. We're not talking about getting personal insights that are just for you, secret new things that nobody else gets, but you just get. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about God opening your eyes to reveal things that had already been there. They're just now plainly seen. And it's not about secret meanings in Scripture passages. It's not about having a little secret club insight into passages that nobody else gets because you're more spiritual than they, but it's a clear and an always clearer or more clear understanding of the things that are taught in the Word of God. And it's a blessing that's given to all of God's people to encourage and strengthen and help you. And so, as you're thinking about this, I still want to try to make sure that you're understanding what I'm not saying and what I am saying. Okay? The idea that I was trained to think about when I was young was to go to the Scriptures so that you might get a personal word, I'm going to put this in quotes, word from the Lord. Now, as long as we mean going to the Scriptures to find out what they have to say for a particular stage or period of life or a question, and then responding to that in obedience, that's a perfectly good idea. But when we think that they're talking about personal insights and secret meanings and clubs, secrets, you know, and hidden things that are special or super level for only a particular group of people, that is not what I'm talking about. You know, we can be very quick to develop a set of desires and then say that they get affirmed by something we find in the Bible. I don't know if you've ever experienced that or not, or known someone who might have done that. But we can say, oh, I think this is where God wants me to go, or develop a set of desires or inclinations, and then we can attribute affirmation to something we read in the Scriptures, when that may not be what's going on at all. So we don't want to attribute to the Spirit work that is not His. The work of the Spirit is to make clear what was there that we couldn't see or understand before. Not to give super spiritual insight, but to make clear what is there. And by understanding that, we don't undervalue a couple of things. We don't undervalue or remove the experiential part of this. If you can still remember the day, or times recently even, maybe where God has just given you life and a sense of, oh, that's what God is about. That's what you're talking about. That sense of experience is wonderful. That's a great encouragement. It sometimes buoys our hearts so that we feel like, you know what, I can survive today. I can do this. Or sometimes it is a crushing thing that exposes sin. And those are all experiential things. We don't want to undervalue the fact that the Christian life is experiential. We don't want to shy away from that reality. And then also, we don't want to undervalue the rational work of interpreting and understanding the Scriptures by the rules, that you will, if you will, that God gives us. We want to understand what the context is, what's meant here in history, and what was going on, and the genre that's involved, and all that kind of stuff. Both of those things are important. And it's the Holy Spirit of God who works in the midst of all that to reveal to us so that we can see. Now, let's get down then to the meat of this, I think. And that is, so if we understand that the Scripture, that the Holy Spirit is absolutely dependent to understand the Word, and if we've got a little bit of a sense about what that means, that He's going to make clear what's already here, then what are we to do? And there are six things in which I'd like to encourage you. The first of those is to pray. Ask God to grant to you the ministry of His Spirit, so that you can understand His Word. If we know how to give, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more then will the Holy Spirit of God, or God the Father, give to us these good gifts? And included in that, I believe, is the Spirit. The help of the Spirit to understand His Word. So we pray. We ask God, just as Paul is asking in Ephesians 1:17, he's praying that God would grant to them a spirit of revelation and wisdom. He's asking God to provide for them the thing that He can only gain through the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is effective at doing this, beloved. And we need to approach our times of reading the Scriptures, our times of listening to the Word preached and taught, asking God, the Holy Spirit, to open our eyes that we might see wonderful things in the law. Remembering that we have not received from God the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. So we need to ask. Now, I have to kind of admit that as I'm preparing a message like that, I'm thinking, God, isn't there a little something a little more spicy or exciting to give to the people so that they can go, oh, that's really cool. But I just spent 15 minutes saying, y'all, this is not about something, a super club. There are no secret insights. It's about the simple Christian life, praying and asking God to help you to understand. It is a spiritual work, but it's not limited to super spiritual people. And there are no magic steps. We pray and we ask God to help us. Secondly, we read the Word. If we want to know what God says, we read the Word. And I thank God for a people who spend lots of time in the Word. I know in conversations with many of you, in talking with you and praying with you and interacting with you, a lot of you spend a lot of time in God's Word. Thank God for you. I thank God for that. And I encourage you to continue in it. Because Psalm chapter 1 tells us that the blessed man, the prosperous man, the joyful man, happy man in the Lord is one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law he meditates day and night. So he sees the value of God's Word and he memorizes it, makes it a part of his regular daily diet so that he can chew on it and think on it and consider it all through the day. Now, can I ask you just to be willing to do a little bit of self-examination for a moment? I dare say that all of us would wish that we could spend more time in God's Word, and the goal is not to say that here's the magic amount of time that you need to spend each day. But if you haven't been having an intake of God's Word in your life, why not? If we call ourselves those who desire to know God and walk with Him and honor Him, why are we not spending time in His Word? Is it just because you've been negligent and maybe you haven't disciplined yourself to order your schedule rightly so that you can? Well, then could I call you to repent of that today and to reorder schedule and time so that you're able to do that? Or perhaps it could be because you've developed a false sense of security. I have the day pretty well under control. I pretty well know what I need to do. I have a confidence that I can handle whatever's going to come to me. I don't really need any extra help today. And a false sense of security that we've sort of got things under control can lead us to not seek after God's face and to seek after His help and His direction and wisdom for the day. Or perhaps you may just have a coolness towards God or even a contempt for Him. A coolness that says, I don't really want to know you. Or I don't really want you invading. I don't want to know what you think. I don't care about your direction for my life. I don't care to have my sin pointed out. I don't care to have my weakness revealed. I don't care to hear what you have to say to my life. I will rule it my own self. Thank you very much. And to have that kind of a contempt towards God is reflected sometimes in a refusal to pick up His Word and read it. Could be laziness, could be negligence, could be a false sense of security. I've got it under control. Could be contempt. Would you be willing to ask God to help you to understand what it is and why you won't do that? Thirdly, attend to preaching and teaching. And you're here. I don't need to elaborate on that. We believe God uses the preaching of His Word in our hearts, and we need to attend to that. And I have some new books available that I'll try to put out during the interim this morning called How to Listen to a Sermon that might be helpful to you if you're interested in having something like that. And fourthly, read aloud, teach, discuss, and obey the Bible in your home. You know, there is a tendency in the South, I think, especially amongst cultural Christian people to go to church on Sunday morning and hear God's Word preached and say amen and yeah, I believe that and here we go. And then the rest of the week we just kind of do our own thing. And many of you already do this and I want to encourage you to continue it. And if you don't, let me encourage you to read the Word of God aloud in your home. To set aside times where you read the Bible. Just read the Bible so that the Word of God is heard in the ears of your children and your spouse. And so that those who are there can have that fresh air of God blowing, as it were, through their ears and their lives. Talk about what the Scriptures are saying. Discuss those things. Wrestle with them. The hard ideas and the things that are going on and how that's impacting your life. Think across those things. And then parents primarily, I guess I want to say to us, let our children see us obeying the Bible. Let our children see us wrestling over these things in our own lives and obeying them as God gives us help and strength and mercy, and repenting when we don't, because we will. And then, fifth, grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is a person. I think we tend to not think of Him in those terms, but He can be grieved, He can be lied to, He can be resisted, He can be tempted in the sense of tested. Do you really mean this kind of test? And so, if the Holy Spirit of God is the one who provides for us the understanding of God's Word, we want to be careful about the way that we relate to Him and respond to Him. And in particular, we don't want to presume upon the omniscience of the Spirit. I'd like to just share with you some meditation from the week and things that God pressed upon my heart about this particular thing, and pray that it will be helpful to you as you think about this. And if you want to turn, you can look in Acts chapter 5 at the account of Ananias and Sapphira. If you're not familiar with this particular situation, there is a fellow named Barnabas who sold a piece of land, and then he brought the price of that land to the disciples as a gift, saying, this is the provision. God's moved me to use the things that I have in order to provide for others. And so in his generosity, he brought this property, or sold the property and brought the price to the disciples. And then in contrast to that, in verse 1 it says, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And then together they decided to bring only a portion of that price to the disciples and laid it at the apostles' feet. And you're probably familiar with the story, but if not, Ananias came first, and when Peter asked him about this, and then he said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, was it not yours? After it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you've contrived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. And Ananias heard these words, and he fell down, breathed his last. Later on, his wife came. Peter said, did you sell the land for such and such a price? And have you brought it all to the apostles? And she said, yes, and agreed with her husband in the lie, and she too died. Now, the issue here is not to say, you know what? If you lie to the Holy Spirit today, you're going to fall down dead. I'm not trying to set up that kind of example from this passage. But I want to point out here the danger of having known sin in our lives and pretending that that matters not to God. It appears that in this situation, Ananias and Sapphira knew they were not doing right, and yet brought themselves before the apostles with the appearance of total generosity. They could have been totally generous by only giving half the money, but they pretended to be something they were not. And therein lies the death of our souls, as it were, to pretend to be something that we're not. This is what I thought about as I was praying about this week. Parents, don't you remember a time when your children have come to you and you know they're not giving you the whole truth, and they're pretending to do something and pretending to be something they're not, and the sort of indignation that you can get in term, and I've probably said, y'all don't think I'm stupid. Don't think I don't know what's going on here. And that's just a parent and a child. How much more does the omniscient Holy Spirit receive offense that we would pretend that we are being generous or pretend at something when we know that we're not? Ananias and Sapphira seemed to care not that they were bringing dishonor to God. They seemed not to care that they were wounding Christ or that they were lying to the Holy Spirit. They seemed to not care that their actions were polluted. Now, again, I want to be careful here. I'm not talking about the fact that we're all sinners. I'm talking about the fact that we might be hiding sin, knowing this is sin. But as long as nobody else knows, it's no big deal. That may be at the very heart of a problem that we have in walking with God. I'm so thankful that God shows so much mercy to us. But such mercy should be a call to forsake sin, not to coddle it. The mercy that God shows us ought to be a call to forsake sin, not to coddle it. And ask God to grant you a true mourning for sin when you know about it, so that we grieve not the Holy Spirit, so that we don't pretend to be something that we're not, so that we can move forward in our relationship with Him in the Word. But don't pretend that the Spirit of God will go along teaching you about all these other things when what we need to hear Him saying to our heart is, repent about this sin. And may God help us to understand that as I've intended it. Finally, this morning, have confidence in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that we don't need to have seminary degrees. We don't have to be the brightest person in the world to understand the Scriptures. The Word of God is open to us because the Spirit of God is the one who teaches us. And so we can have a confidence to sit down and look into the Word of God and to understand, to be helped, to be encouraged, to be instructed, and moved forward in our relationship to Christ. And so I hope that that finishing will be an encouragement to your heart. While there are some places in the Bible that are still hard to understand, we can have an encouragement that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is effective in helping us to know what God wants us to know and reveal what needs to be revealed. Well, would you pray with me for a moment as we finish these things together this morning? God, thank You for reminding us of the ministry of Your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see Your truth. Lord, thank You for reminding us that what we understand in Your Word is not because of personal brightness or cleverness, but because of Your kindness and mercy. And Father, may we never show contempt for that mercy in our lives as You reveal to us sometimes what is sin that needs to be forsaken. And You help us. God, may we not coddle our sin, but run away from it, hate it, love righteousness. And God, may we love Your Word. Thank You for it. Spend time in it. Depend upon You for help to understand it. And then as You give that light, walk in obedience to it by the power of Your mercy and grace. I ask for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Annaloo Drive,